You're listening to the Knowing Motherhood podcast. I'm your host, Linnell Peters, and it's an honor to walk alongside you in motherhood, whether the journey is just beginning or you're right in the thick of it. I believe that your worth as a mother is not based on your performance, and that your greatest strength is the love that you have for your children, whether they're in your arms or only in your heart. My prayer is that this little corner of the podcast world will leave you feeling more equipped, more hopeful, and less alone than when you arrived. Welcome back, friends. It is good to be with you again. This is episode 43 of the Knowing Motherhood podcast, and I am so grateful to finally have a new episode for you. We are continuing our series, The Thriving Home Again, this new year, with a very raw and honest conversation today about the hope that is available to a seemingly hopeless marriage. This episode is powerful, and I think that every married person, including couples preparing for marriage, can glean from today's conversation. My guest is Kathy Bush. She's the co-author of the new book, Sex on the First Date. She shares how her toxic marriage became not only healthy, but thriving despite long-term infidelity and alcoholism. Kathy and I discussed how, after years of personal and marital brokenness, she and her husband, Tim, learned to do marriage God's way, which impacted not only their relationship, but the lives of their children and grandchildren as well. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Kathy Bush. Kathy, welcome to Knowing Motherhood. It's so good to have you here.
Linnella, it's so good to be here. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we had a few hiccups getting into this conversation, didn't we?
That's okay. We're here now.
I know. I always find it kind of breaks the ice a little bit more. So it's a way to get to know each other before we press record. So,
right. I think it was perfect.
I do too. I agree. I want to ask you if you are willing to just let our listeners know just a few little things about yourself and just your family, any blessings, anything that's currently filling your days, things that you're passionate about.
Sure, I'd love to. So at this point, Tim and I actually celebrated our 42nd wedding anniversary, which is crazy. I sometimes don't even feel like I'm 42 years old.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. We have three married children. So we've got three in-law children who we absolutely love. And we have eight grandchildren, ranging from the age of 27 down to 3. And so I would say those grandkids bring Tim and I a lot of joy. We love being grandparents. You know, when we were raising kids and trying to figure out ourselves and our lives, I feel like we missed out on so much. So God kind of gave us a second chance with all of these grandkids. Mm. So they bring us so much joy. And, you know, Tim and I love hanging out together. Tim's still working, but he works from home and not a whole lot. Mainly what we're doing is marriage ministry, traveling the country and sharing our story and helping married couples. And so we're doing that. We love doing that. We love drinking coffee together and taking walks and enjoying. We have an Australian Labradoodle who is 12 years old, and she is a bundle of joy. We love her. And that's me. That's us.
Yeah, that's so great. Now, if you asked yourself 20 years ago if you thought you guys would be enjoying coffee together and all these grandchildren, what would you say?
I would have said absolutely not. I really didn't think that, you know, I never dreamed that I could love my husband the way I love him now, and that we would fall so deeply in love with Jesus that it would completely change our life. I would have not even put that on our radar. So yeah, It's pretty incredible where he has brought us.
Yeah, I love that you said that it's falling in love with Jesus that has brought you to fall in love more deeply with your husband.
Completely. Without knowing the love of Christ, I don't believe we can truly love people. And I don't believe that we can truly experience that love in a marriage. And because before we knew Christ, it was all about feelings. And it was all about how I felt today and how Tim made me feel. And, you know, I was dependent on him for my happiness. And it's totally different now.
Wow. Praise God for that. So maybe share with those who are listening why you and your husband, Tim, are so passionate about seeing struggling marriages thrive. Because you've been there.
Right, right.
And do you want to talk first a little bit about how you and Tim met? And then maybe talk about what those early years of marriage were like?
Okay. Yeah, so Tim and I met. I was 17, a senior in high school. He was 20. Out of high school. My sister and his brother were friends, and they kind of got us together. And Tim had a bad reputation, so I wasn't really sure I wanted to go out with him. I didn't have a great reputation at that time either, but I really knew about his. So I thought, you know, we'll go out. And my life up till that point, I was pretty involved in drinking and had a lot of boyfriends. I'd had a long-term boyfriend that I actually thought I was going to marry because it was kind of on my radar that I was going to get married as soon as I could because that was kind of what my future was going to be. It was kind of in my family, all of us, all the girls were like, that's what we were going to do. We were going to do what our mom did and got married. And so when I met Tim, he was actually what I thought was the first man ever that I had met. Because he had cars, he had a house, he had a full-time job. I was pretty impressed with that. And I kind of looked at him as he would be good marriage material. And so we went on our first date, and that's where the title of our book came from, which is called Sex on the First Date, which is how our relationship started. And it went into a passionate whirlwind for us. And I really fell in love with him and ended up getting pregnant. And we got married pretty quick. Wow. So then fast forward for, I'm just going to say the next 27 years, we were trying to figure out how to be happy, both of us in our own ways. And I want to say in here, too, during this time, we were in and out of church because I was raised going to church. I went to a Lutheran church, but I totally missed the whole relationship with Jesus Christ. It was just kind of, so we went to church as a married couple. We were married in the church, and we got our babies baptized. I ended up having three kids before I turned 21 years old. So wow. Those first years were really busy. Tim was gone all the time working. He was in the car business, and when he'd get off work, he'd pretty much go to the bars and not come home. And so I was busy raising those kids until I had my first affair. I went outside of the marriage, and it involved drinking, and then I fell in love with another man, and that's when I thought our marriage was going to be over. That was the first time that I really thought, that was about 7 or 8 years into the marriage. And there was a man that was there for me that was would listen to me and made me feel important. And that was our first bout with counseling that we went to a pastor. And he kind of glued our marriage back together for a while. And we kind of carried on for the next years and a lot of drinking in our marriage. More infidelity happened. And we just came to the end of ourselves. Pretty much what happened was Tim started suffering anxiety. His brother passed away of brain cancer. Our nephew passed away, he was really close to our boys, actually our son's best friend. So that put our family in a tailspin. Business, we hit really bad economy. Business got bad, and Tim started suffering anxiety and depression and to the point of actually thinking about suicide. And so God just was working, and he put people into our lives. He put a really good friend that Tim had known for years, highly respected man, actually asked Tim if he had considered reading the Bible. And at this point, Tim, in his desperation, went and bought a Bible, and I saw him kind of speed reading through the Bible, like he was looking for answers in that, mm-hmm. while he was drinking to numb his anxiety. And he told his friend, he said, "I'm reading the Bible." And he said, "Well, you need to slow down. You need to, why don't you and Kathy start with Proverbs, read a chapter of Proverbs a day." So after his friend told him that, he came to me, I think it was 2 to 3 weeks after he had told him that, and asked me if I would read the Bible with him. And I tell people to this day that, like, that was the sexiest thing my husband ever did, was ask me to read the Bible. And wow. I really felt in my heart like that was like, wow, he's leading me in a godly manner. Like, that was the first time I really experienced that in our marriage. And that was the big start of change. There was a lot of things that happened after that, but when we started reading God's word, that was over 14 years ago. We have not stopped. It's like God's word is part of our daily practice every day, because I know through God's word is how I was saved. I know that he opened my eyes, took the scales off my eyes. I could finally understand. And we repented of the drinking that was in our marriage. We put a stake in the ground. August 31st, which was the anniversary of our first date 14 years ago, we decided we're not going to drink anymore. And that was advised our counselors for 2 years. We were in marriage counseling, and they kept saying, "You guys really have a drinking problem." And we just didn't want to admit it. We didn't want to take that out of our life. But once we did, and we took the alcohol out, and we had God's word in there, and that was when things really started to transpire into our relationship with Christ.
Wow. Well, so thank you for sharing all of that. It's so interesting for me personally to listen to you share that, because you really just summed up a lot of years and a lot of stuff in a very short, a few words. And for me, it's very interesting because I have a lot of authors that I interview, and I don't often get to read their entire book. Sometimes I'll read part of, but I don't often. And I read most, basically, all of your and Tim's book. And what I found interesting, well, there's a few things, but one is that you just owned your own affair, but you did not mention anything about your husband's struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Is that out of respect? Is that part of the growth in your marriage and where you are today? Was that intentional, that you just owned your side of that? Because to me, that's incredible. You barely mentioned, because Tim really had a great struggle of his own going on at the same time as you.
Oh yeah. Well, I think with that, you know, I don't even know if it was intentional. I think as I tell my story, I know Tim and I together, it's our story. We're interviewed a lot together. And yes. When I'm interviewed by myself, it's like his story is his to tell. And yes. And I know in the book, it's in detail, you know, I don't look at it as, because what Jesus Christ did in us, like, we're completely new creations. What mm-hmm. happened with Tim's infidelity, I don't hold it against him anymore. So I think because of that forgiveness, it's not even, you know, it happened, but I'm not like a scorned woman that I still am holding that against him.
Right.
It's just, I mean, he had his part, I had my part. And yeah. I never even thought about that.
But I think it's a beautiful sign of the health of your marriage.
I think
that's why I brought it up, because I think, you know, it speaks to me. And I think how many people walk through, I mean, your guys' story was, as I was reading it, I have to be honest, Kathy, I was like, is this for real? Like, how did this marriage actually stay together with everything that you guys went through, it's pretty profound. And I think, you know, I think that it really speaks volumes to God's always seeking us out. And yeah. I mean, and then the way that he gives us second chances and third chances and fourth, you know, he is a God of endless compassion towards his people, and he loves marriage. And I just think it's incredible that you guys have this resiliency that I think so many couples, like, it's over. The minute infidelity just peeks its face into a marriage, it's over. Why do you think people are so quick to give up today in marriage? I'm going right off script here because...
No, that's great.
You shared your story so much. I know you're probably comfortable with that, but why do you think it's so easy to give up?
Oh, you know, we talk to so many couples, and, you know, I think about this couple that we counseled, and she said to me, you know, she knew our story, and she said, Kathy, I'm not waiting 27 years. Mm-hmm. And she ended up divorcing her husband. And I think what it is, because when I think about it, and I think about God's part in this, because I look back and know he was, like, the amazing thing with God is he knows our future. He knew that I was going to be sitting here with you this day sharing about what happened years ago. Mm-hmm. And when we're in those moments, because I can tell you, Linnell, I wanted out a lot of the time. But I realized when we look back at what happened, there was not one day on the same day that Tim and I both said, let's get a divorce. And so I truly believe if one of you in a marriage is willing to fight, that you can fight for the marriage. And that's the incredible thing is God loves the marriage. And when he allowed in the scriptures, when Jesus said he allowed for divorce and the reason he allowed for divorce was because of the hard hearts. And so if Tim and I were at this place in our marriage and we could not forgive each other, I believe we could not move forward. And I believe that people that experience infidelity that are not able to forgive, that's why divorce is allowed with adultery. If your heart is going to stay hard and there's not going to be any forgiveness, your marriage isn't going to survive. But ultimately, God hates divorce. That's what we tell people. It's like, I feel like divorce is a win for Satan. Satan does not want marriages to thrive. And so I just think that I think it's easier to get out of the marriage. It's just, our culture has made it easy. And I can say for many years, I thought, you know, man, I am not happy and God would want me happy. I thought, I would be happier if I was divorced. And I just thank God that I just see his grace over our marriage for all those years, that he was protecting it for this time. And that's why we share it. We have to share it because we want couples to hear that there is hope. You can overcome these things with the power of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. I just love the fact that that there is a mutual pursuit in your story where, like you said, there was never a time where both of you were like, we're done, this is over. Like, there was kind of always one person that was like, no, I want to fight for this. I want to work for harder on this. Do you think that came from a place of both recognizing your own brokenness?
Oh, I think so. I think totally so. I think for Tim, because his mom was married 9 times and he experienced divorce, and then he ended up, his mom married a guy that did not want kids. So his mom gave him up to his grandparents, and then his grandparents were solid for, I can't remember how many years now, but many years, 40, I think for over 40 years. And then his grandparents ended up getting a divorce. So Tim he had said to me, you know, I'm not going to drag our kids through a divorce. So I think, I think that was a big thing for him, which why for me, I hadn't experienced that as a kid. My parents were married for a long time and stayed married. So I didn't know what divorce was as a kid. So he just didn't want that for our kids. So I definitely think that brokenness on his side was the glue that was keeping us together for a long time.
What factors do you believe lead to or led to for you guys to your infidelity? You mentioned, you know, Tim was working in car sales and he was, you know, so he was really busy. He wasn't present. You weren't getting what you were needing from him. And then he was, you know, I mean, going to bars, out drinking after work. So you were looking for something that you needed. What can you talk a little more specifically about what that looked like for you when you decided to enter into another relationship?
You know, Linnell, it's interesting because I was thinking the other day about a time when my sister was asking me about what movie star was I attracted to? Like, who was the movie star that I was attracted to? And I remember telling her, like, I'm not attracted to any movie star. The only person I'm attracted to is my husband. And I remember thinking about when that switch changed and my attraction to another man happened. And it was definitely, it played into that void that was I was missing in my marriage because we weren't communicating. We weren't, the intimacy was not good. I felt like the sex between Tim and I was just for him and I wasn't enjoying that. And I didn't feel like he was there for me to listen to me. And I just feel, and I had no identity. You know, I went from my parents at 18 to my husband, and I feel like I missed that growing up period. I feel like I went from a child to having a child. So I missed all that. So when our kids were old enough to where we could leave them with babysitters, I started going to the bars with Tim. And that drinking that I had done in high school, I started drinking again. And drinking, for one thing, gets rid of your inhibitions. I talked through the book how I was super shy as a child. As I became an adult, I still was shy. And so as I started drinking, that shyness came out, and a guy started paying attention to me. Yeah. And I think that the attraction was just that I was getting attention, and I wasn't getting it at home. And the affair, the first affair was pretty much an emotional affair, and I fell in love with him. I mean, and because I was living on my feelings and he made me feel good. And when Tim found out about this, I didn't care. I told him I didn't want to be married. I'm in love with another man. I don't love you. And that's where I was at.
And what was his response? What was Tim's response when you said, I don't love you anymore, I'm in love with someone else?
So his initial response was, well, I'm going to call your parents and tell them. Because
you were quite young still, right?
Yeah, quite. Yeah. I was 27.
Okay.
And but I was still really emotionally young. But our relationship, Tim and I, it still felt like this father-daughter, and he was very controlling. Tim was a very controlling man, and I allowed it because I didn't know any different. And so his first response was, I'm going to tell your parents. That was his way of controlling it. And I was like, fine, go ahead. And the amazing thing, and this is how God works, is my mom, her first response was, I have a pastor. He actually married her husband, which was my dad. He married them many years ago, and he was a pastor in the town that we were at, and he does marriage counseling. And so she pointed us in the direction of Pastor Getty, and Tim was good with that, and he called Pastor Getty and got in to see him right away. But what Tim wanted to do was he wanted to fix me. because this was all my problem. He wanted to fix me. Right. He had secrets of his own that he was not going to share. It was about fixing me, because in Tim's mind, what he was doing in with infidelity was, it was normal for guys. He was raised that way. His pop cheated on his gram, and it was kind of just, and any man that he knew cheated on their wives, and that's kind of just what they did.
And so it was just, it was justified in his mind.
Right. But it
wasn't. But he was like, my wife, though, this is different.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So he was willing to go to counseling, but this was with an intention to fix you.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. And so those, so it's probably fair to say that the counseling didn't really do a whole lot.
Well, I would say that
it did.
It was the start of kind of the first gluing us back together. But what happened was, and we started going to this church, but what we were doing is we were following man. We were putting our trust in that pastor. And Tim even said, like, he's got the magic stuff for us. And, you know, we were following him. And as long as we were in counseling, you know, we were good. But the minute the pastor retired, we stopped going to counseling. We were back to our old patterns, because that's what happens if you don't have a foundation of Christ. Nothing is going to last. And that's why our pattern just continued. It wasn't lasting until we found Christ.
Right. So there was no relationship with the Lord, but you were church attenders.
Right.
And you were doing the right things. You were going for counseling, and you were, you know, trying to fix things, but you were doing it all in your own strength.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So what happened when you found out? Where in the story did you find out about Tim's infidelity, and what did that look like for you? How did you respond, and what was Tim's, you know, attitude about it all?
So there was a conference called the Landmark Forum at one point in our marriage that I attended, looking for help, self-help. And I went to this conference, and after this conference, it was a conference that gave me a lot of self-confidence. You know, it was built me up and helped me to share and communicate with Tim. It was really good for me. And some things that I hadn't shared with him, I was able to share. There was more infidelity I hadn't shared. I shared it with him. So he attended this conference, and after he got out of the conference is when he shared about a 2.5-year affair that had been going on. And so I believe, and still we're not believers, and I have to say up to this point too, Linnell, we considered ourselves Christians. I said I was a Christian. You know, we were going to church, you know, so I would have told anyone I was a Christian. Tim was the same way. But at this moment when he shared this to me, because of that conference, I was able to handle it, and we were able we went into more counseling, and I felt like we were kind of repairing through that. And then as life progressed, as Tim slipped into anxiety and depression, and we had been in intensive marriage counseling. His counselor kept saying to him, because he was kept suffering all these things, and his counselor kept saying, Tim, I feel like you're just not telling me everything. So one afternoon, Tim told his counselor everything that he had been doing throughout the years of our marriage. And his counselor looked at him and said, Tim, you have to tell Kathy. And Tim said, I'll lose her if I tell her. And he says, well, you're going to lose your life if you don't tell her. And Tim was, you know, throughout those years, Tim had a important man in his life tell him, you don't tell your wife these things. Like, you let sleeping dogs lie. You have to take these things to the grave. So he was living with all of this inside him. So after he saw his counselor, he came home to me one afternoon and shared, said he had some things to share with me. And he shared everything. And I can tell you, there was not an there was not one part of me that I was going to divorce him. And I know this was God. I know that at this time, with God's supernatural power, he gave me the understanding finally of our marriage. Like, our marriage became clear to me. It was like all the things that had happened, it kind of made sense to me. And after he finished telling me everything, I actually felt like, you know what? We're at the very bottom. Like, everything is finally out on
it's
the table.
It's all out in the open. Yeah.
And right. Now the only place to go is up. Like, we have hit the complete bottom. And now we can start repairing this.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. I just, when I hear you say that, I think, wow. Most women would be like, we're done. This is so much betrayal. But I guess, do you think part of the reason, of course it's the Lord's presence and the Lord leading your heart in the right direction, even though you didn't know him personally yet, but do you think that partly you were able to forgive because of your own infidelity? Do you think that that made it easier? Do you think if you had never acted out in that way yourself and been led astray yourself, do you think it would have been more difficult to forgive?
Well, I can say, because I only know what I know,
right.
I think that the understanding of infidelity, you could understand it more when you've gone through it.
Yeah.
So I think definitely yes, because I think people who their husband or wife have cheated on them and they haven't experienced that, the judgment is more, you know, when you've never been in that position. I think I know some incredible women who have never cheated on their husband and their husbands have cheated on them. And the way they worked through it was totally different than how Tim and I worked through it. I totally admire them for how they did it. And these were Christian women. And so that has helped me, because I think we have to, if we're not in the situation and we don't understand it, you know, like, I can't understand a woman who has never cheated on their husband. I don't understand that, because I know what it feels like to be in that position, but they don't understand how it feels for me. You know, it's just totally, it's different. It's very different.
Absolutely. It makes sense. It makes sense for sure. So one of the things that you guys talk about is sex. You guys, you've experienced it passionately, like at the beginning of the relationship, though it wasn't as it was meant to be.
Right.
But you experienced that. You know, you had lots of babies close together early on in life, and you were just still navigating all kinds of really hard things personally and in marriage. And you know what it's like to have an absence of intimacy. And good intimacy and having probably difficult or an unhealthy mindset about sex. And I'm wondering, could you talk a little bit about unhealthy mindsets for yourself? And if you're comfortable speaking for Tim a little bit on where he came from with his own unhealthy mindset. And maybe some of the ways that you progressed once you realized the health that was needed there and the way that you thought about sex. And is that question clear?
Yep. It's totally clear. And we both definitely had unhealthy mindsets on sex, because I think it all started for me when I was a child and I was molested. And so that started that path of unhealthy sex. And then having sex before I was married with many different guys, many different boyfriends, I kind of looked at sex. I felt like that was love. I felt like somebody loved me if I had sex and I knew how to offer that. And so it was easy moving into that with Tim, but I can tell you the sex for Tim and I changed on our wedding night. It was like, I wasn't really interested. The feelings that I had for him totally changed on our wedding night. And that went into many years. And I felt like sex for us was all about him and his pleasure, because I didn't know how to express what I wanted or what I needed, and I didn't even know. And I didn't have anybody to talk to. I think that's a big thing, is we can, and the enemy likes to do that to us. He likes to isolate us. And he likes us to internalize these things and not talk about it. And I think this was something that I never talked to anybody about, and I never talked to Tim about it. We just had sex, and I felt empty after we had sex because I just felt like it was about him. And he didn't know any different. And that stems back to, you know, Tim says, when he married me, he thought he would get all the sex he wanted. And so his former life of having girlfriends and cheating on his girlfriends, he thought that that would just go away, because if he had a woman that was taking care of all those needs, and this was nothing we ever discussed. I mean, this was just kind of just, he just figured that's how it was going to be. So when
you were just going on feelings, feelings. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so sex for us before marriage was good. He thought, well, that's how it was going to be when we got married. And so through many years of not having great intimacy and you know, the other thing is the infidelity that was happening. You know, when there's infidelity and when there's sex outside of marriage, the sex seems so good and it's exciting. And, you know, you look at it on the movies, the cheating, and it's exciting. And
yeah, it's forbidden. There's a thrill there. You get a dopamine rush from it.
Oh, yeah. And so I really thought that I would never have this with Tim. I thought, and I had settled into our marriage thinking, we'll just be married forever and I'll have good sex outside of marriage. And what's incredible now, our sex now, and we talk about this all the time. It's like, we never dreamed it could be this way, the way God designed it and the intimacy we have, the closeness we have. I mean, it doesn't compare to any of the affairs we had. It's like, if I would have known it could be this great with Tim, you know, in comparing it to the affair sex, it's like, I would have never gone down that route. I mean, I wish I could take all that back, the hurt that it caused both of us, but the intimacy and the sex we have and the communication we have about it, and that is key, is communicating and being able to talk about it. And
I think that is a hard thing, even for people in marriage where there is no infidelity, that can be so hard. The communication part of that. And I wanted to touch on that a little bit in the conversation today. And I'm just wondering, why do you think that it is a challenge even for people who aren't dealing with infidelity to communicate well about intimacy in their marriage? What makes it so difficult?
Well, I think we don't know how to talk about it. And I think that's why, you know, really the first time that Tim and I had a discussion about it, we went to a Weekend to Remember that Family Life puts on. And the night session, they had a project related to sex. And it was all about communicating. And so it's interesting because we started talking about it. We actually got in a fight that night. And
I bet a lot of people do.
Yeah, I think so too, because people don't know how to talk about it. And that's the thing I love about the Weekend to Remember, is they do that so they get people to start talking about it. That's why at our events, our event is a lot of video, but the sex session, we took the video completely out of it, and we get couples to talk about sex, and we spend time. Tim and I, we share our journey, we share the baggage we brought into our marriage, and we pose these questions to these couples to spend 3 minutes, like six different times, talking about these things to get them to start to talk about it. And I think there's tools out there, there's different books, there's different resources that can help people to get that conversation started. Because I think if you just sit down with your spouse and say, let's just talk about sex, it's like, you don't know how to do it. So I think looking for those resources, you know, and you want to get the Christ-centered ones, because there's a lot of other stuff out there.
Oh, there for sure is. Yeah.
Yes, so there's a lot of resources out there. One of the books, since you're Canada, is The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex and The Good Guy's Guide to Great Sex. Tim and I love those books.
And who are they by?
I want to say Sheila Gregoire.
Right. I was actually just looking up some of her stuff recently. Yeah, that's right. Okay. I was looking because I was trying to put together some a list of resources on this by the right authors and, you know, with the biblical foundation included there. So that's good to know. I will make sure to include that in show notes for
listeners. Yeah, another good one, Julie Slattery.
Oh, I love Julie.
Yes.
Yes, I love her. I listen to Java with Julie all the time.
Yes, she's, and listening to her is a great thing. And for husbands and wife to listen together, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a matter of getting that conversation going, because I truly believe the more you talk about sex, the better your sex is going to be with your spouse.
Mm. The communication is definitely key. And I think, does this stem just from it being a taboo topic in general for so long?
I think so.
Like how do we broach this in a better way? What do you and Tim see as you talk with couples, counsel, speak, travel around? What are some of the common denominators that really contribute to marriage struggles in general? What are some of the things here that you're seeing? I mean, everybody kind of, well, not everybody, but I mean, in general, I think we know that, you know, sex and money, you know, these things are kind of the big finances, right? Are some of the big issues in marriage. But what are some of those more deeper rooted things that are causing the upsets that happen in unhealthy marriages?
Oh, and Linnell, that's so true, because, you know, even for Tim and I, we did an assessment quite a few years ago about where we were in oneness and where we weren't in oneness. And the mm-hmm. and the two things at that time, and I think this was like 13 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, was sex and finances. Those were mm-hmm. our top two. And those are a top two with so many people. And it's interesting now, because it's changed, because those are not our problems anymore. I would say conflict resolution, because I think it's gotten harder for Tim and I with conflict, because I've gotten stronger.
And, you know, right, because he was more controlling.
Yes, yes.
And you kind of gave him that in a sense. And I want to clarify for the listener, there wasn't abuse.
No,
correct?
No, yeah.
There wasn't any abuse, but there was a controlling element, and you were kind of just passively going along with that.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yep. Okay. Yep. That's exactly it. And that's the thing we want the readers to really to see is, I mean, when we counsel and we talk to couples, if they are in an abusive relationship, we still do not say get a divorce, but we do say you need to get safe, you need to get help, and go from there, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, we don't recommend divorce to anybody. You know, that's not our place to do that, but if someone is in an abusive relationship, you know, you have to get safe, and we right. definitely say that. Yeah. But we do know we serve a big God, and people can change. And Tim's controlling nature, he's not controlling, but he is a strong man, and I have become stronger, and so I do believe that with conflict, we get a little stubborn with each other and have to really, and when we can put it in perspective that, hey, this is not, you're not my enemy. This is Satan working to try to get us to, you know, mm-hmm. against each other. But yeah, I do think that communication is key in all areas of your relationship, and being able to listen to your spouse and not get defensive, not make it about you, but make it about really letting your spouse know that you're hearing them, and you may not agree. And I have heard it said, and I truly believe this, if you always agree in a marriage, one of you is not necessary.
Interesting. Can you say that again?
If you always agree in your marriage, one of you is not necessary.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because okay. we're two completely different people, and we bring different. God made us completely different. We bring different things to a marriage, and we're not going to agree on everything. And if you're looking to have an agreeable marriage, that's not what God wants. He's given us each our personalities and our gifts, and I believe those things are to make each other better. I know my husband has really encouraged me to do some things I've never dreamed that I would do, you know? I mean, so
right. That. And because you were, correct me if I'm wrong, and just it's quite fresh in my mind. It wasn't that long ago that I read your book, but you didn't have a lot of ambitions outside of motherhood and being a wife, and it was probably a little bit scary to step outside and step into some of the things that you went on to do, which included schooling, I believe.
Yes, I went to school to become an esthetician.
Right, okay.
And that was an amazing time of my life. I knew from day one when I was in school that I was in the right place. And that school, I mean, it was all about skincare. It was all about health, which was everything I was interested in. Mm-hmm. And really, while I was in that school, I figured I would get I'd get schooling so I could go out and support myself, and I wouldn't have to be married to Tim anymore. I really thought that in the back of my mind.
Okay.
But there was something in me when I graduated, and that's kind of how the first chapter of the book works, where Tim caught me on the phone with a guy I'd had an affair with, and during the schooling, some things happened that I had to confess to Tim, and I thought it was going to be the end of the marriage, but there was something in me that I didn't want the marriage to end at that time. But through that school and my growth gave me the confidence to start my own business. And I did that for 10 years and until the God really moved in us to really go more into doing marriage events and marriage ministry. And we travel so much, it's hard to see your clients every 4 to 6 weeks. So,
yeah. Wow. And there's so much more to your story, and I would love for the listeners to get a copy of your book. You picked quite a title for this book, which is Sex on the First Date.
Yeah, and you know,
was that to grab attention?
You know, it was, because the ultimate purpose of what Tim and I do is that people will find Christ.
Yeah.
And we wanted to have a title that would grab people, and we wanted people that would pick up 50 Shades of Grey, which I've never read, but we wanted it to be enticing, and we didn't really want to have the gospel message, you know, right away. We wanted people to hear life without Christ and then to see what Christ has done and how he's transformed us. And so that's why we wanted that title. We had so many people that loved the title, wanted us to do it. Actually, our first writer that we had would not do that title.
And it was too much.
It was too much. Yeah. She didn't think it would fly in the Christian world. Yeah. And you know, we want to get out we're called to share the gospel and to do it however we can. And so the subtitle, we want people to see the subtitle, which is A Story of a Broken Beginning to a Radically Transformed Marriage. And that is the message of that book. And in the book, there's also, it's a book that you can work together with your spouse, because there's questions for transformation. And then we've brought our three children into it, and our in-law children and our grandchildren into it. And our children have wrote in it their take on our life. And they're in videos. There's QR codes throughout the book with videos of our children and different people in our life as we were going through the transformation.
So. And it's really phenomenal. I haven't watched the videos, but I mean, reading some of the things that your kids share in the little sections where they just add in some extra personal thoughts. It's incredible that their perspective is so different from what ours as the reader is. Like, as I'm reading, I'm thinking, these poor kids. And then you hear the kids talk about it, and they're like, you know, you can tell you guys were really striving to be good parents. The kids felt a lot of, I think, that from you. But in the behind the scenes, there was so much hidden brokenness.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, that was what I kind of gathered from my reading. And I thought, it's amazing because sometimes we tend to think, oh, this sounds like the worst situation. But we're really good as humans at hiding and pretending and covering up our struggles. And do you feel that that was something that you and Tim were good at during those years? Do you feel like you were able to hide it and tuck it away and put on a front? I mean, you were attending church.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I think part of us, we were good at that, and then there was parts that we weren't, because when you watch one of the videos, the kids talk about, TJ, our middle son, talks about hearing us yelling and fighting in the middle of the night. Mm. And then our daughter, one of the kids say they just were waiting for the divorce. Okay. So they, you know, as they got to be teenagers, it was starting to be more apparent that things were not good. I think when they were little, you know, I wanted to be a good mom. And I remember, I don't know if it got in the book, because TJ wrote something about mom always made sure we had good meals and, you know, mm-hmm. that she had all the food groups. And, you know,
yeah.
if she was struggling, I didn't see it, you know, as they right. were little kids. And we took the kids on vacation. Tim would take, you know, he was so entranced in work, and he would every once in a while quit his job because they wouldn't let him have time off. He'd quit his job and we'd take a vacation. And things would be good. You know, there had to be good moments for us to stay together all those years. We would
yeah.
we'd have those good moments. And then he'd have to go back into life and go back into the influences of the world, and things would be right. bad again. And so it was kind of an up and down. We had a really good friend of ours tell us that through those years, there was so much passion with Tim and I, like really good. And then there was so much, the downers were so bad. Mm. It was like we had these really high times and then we had these really low times. And yeah. I believe that's, when you don't have a relationship with Christ, that's living on your feelings. That's like, yeah. And so your relationship with Christ keeps that balance. You're still going to have, I mean, TJ says in one of our videos, you know, we're not a perfect family. Just because you go all in for Jesus Christ doesn't mean things are going to be perfect. And I'll tell you, working for the kingdom of Christ, you have a target on your back. And we feel that, you know, we feel that as we move forward and we press forward into this, we have to really be aware of that. And Tim and I we're getting quicker at realizing and seeing the work of Satan. And we are on top of that really fast.
Yeah. Wow. Can you share just a little bit about that moment, that day that Tim and you became all in, when the relationship became less about feelings and more about following Christ, and all about following Christ? Can you talk a little bit about when that was, like how many years ago, when that shift truly happened for you and you guys realized this isn't about us?
Well, I remember the moment, and it was December 2009, and we were at a Christmas concert. We had been attending a church, and this was a Jesus-loving Bible-teaching church, just a totally different church than what we had been going to. We had been attending that church a little bit, and they had a Christmas concert, and we were at the concert, and they played this song called The Lighthouse. And Tim says at this moment that the song was played, he started feeling this emotion, felt it was like a Damascus moment for Paul when he was struck by Christ, and it was like he felt like God had taken everything away from him and filled him at that moment with the Holy Spirit. And Tim looked at me, and I will never forget, he grabbed my hand and tears were just flowing down his face. And he said, we are giving our life to Christ. We are going to be all in, and we are going to serve the Lord. And wow. I remember looking at him and thinking, wow, like we had to this buildup, we had been reading God's word. And I felt like God was revealing things to me. And I think because of my church background, I didn't get that aha moment like Tim did. I felt right. like I felt like I moved from the blinders being taken off to totally seeing Christ. and right. and having that relationship. So at that moment, I knew that things were going to change, and we became all in right away. Like that, this church, we started going to three services. Our kids thought we were crazy. They're like, "What is happening to mom and dad?" And right. that's when things changed. Tim was a BMW dealer, and he changed everything at the dealership. He started playing Christian music. He had Fruit of the Spirit paintings put up on the walls, took the car paintings down. This is a BMW dealership. I mean, wow. We were, so it wasn't just a Sunday change. It was a all week change in God's word, growing like incredible growth in us. Just God, it was like it had, God put us on a fast track, you know, right away. Mm. It was like, I say, you know, I feel like I wasted all those years before that, but I know that God didn't waste anything.
No, he doesn't.
No.
And he promises to use everything for good and for his glory. And he does that. He does that work. And he gives us the privilege of looking back and seeing all those little moments where he was leading us and we didn't know it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So you guys do a lot of counseling. So I'm just hypothetically, you're counseling a young couple and they're getting ready for marriage. Like, what things do they really need to consider? I think so many of us have gone through, my husband and I went through marriage counseling, and my goodness, like, you know, even going through a thorough bout of that with a biblically based book, you know, all the things that I think we still just really didn't. We knew a lot. We were later in our 20s when we got married, and but we weren't prepared for all of the hard things that the Lord allowed us to go through. I don't think you can ever be fully prepared, but what are those key things that couples, young or not, need to be considering and really communicating well about prior to saying their vows?
And Linnell, you just hit the nail on the head, because you can't ever be completely prepared for marriage.
And I don't,
you
think
know,
so.
you can't go through prepare for marriage book and think that you've got it all figured out.
Yeah.
But the key is your foundation and your relationship with Christ, because if you have that, then you're not going to be looking to your spouse to fill every need for you, because they're never going to do that. And
Amen.
We go into marriage believing that they're going to make us happy. And, you know, a lot of people get married because that's the person that's going to, they're going to do life with, and they're going to make them happy. And, but your joy has to come from the Lord. And we have to, and I think that's the key, realizing that when you're going into marriage, is that your joy needs to come from the Lord, and what you get from your spouse is going to be a bonus.
Yeah.
And the more you can rely on Jesus to fill that in you, the better your marriage is going to be.
Yeah.
And it's just a learn. I mean, marriage is hard. It's like I said, you know, when you get married, you have a, especially with Christ in the center, you have a target on your back, because Satan doesn't like marriage.
No.
And so the more you can be aware of that, the better off you're going to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you can't. I think the key is realizing in marriage that it's a continual work. It's a continual. You've got to be investing in your marriage, and you know, Tim and I read marriage books together. We are serving in marriages, but you have to be. You have to invest in your marriage. It's just like anything in your life that you want to be good. You know, if you want to be in shape, you're going to invest in your body and go into the gym. You're going to take your supplements because you want to invest in your health. You know, you're going to invest in your 401k because you're thinking about your future. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not going to invest in your marriage, you're not going to have a good marriage. You can't just go to pre-marriage, get married, and think, oh, it's going to be good because we did that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to tag on to this question too, going into, you know, the topic of intimacy and a little bit here. Would you advise somebody to get married even if there is still struggles with things like porn and infidelity, sexual addiction? There are a lot of people that think, like you said with Tim, that it's, or you know, that it's going to heal something, that's going to fix something. Getting married, oh, all of a sudden I'm going to be able to have sex whenever I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Would you advise somebody a forward into marriage to help their problem?
No, definitely not. It's not the baggage that you bring into your marriage is going to be worse in your marriage, and it's actually going to be magnified. And so if someone is dealing with porn before they're getting married, it's not going to fix it once you get married. If that's what you're thinking, you've got to figure out. And this is something if you're thinking about getting married that your fiance needs to know about, so that their eyes are wide open to the problem, and they can help you through it. I believe that you can work through this together. But thinking that you're going to go into a marriage, like Tim said, I'm not gonna be sleeping with other women once I marry Kathy because I'm going to get all the sex I want. That's going to fix me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he thought I was a church girl because I went to church. And so a church girl was going to fix everything that was broken in him. So no, those things that you're aware of, and you got to get real about those things. So no, I would not, you've got baggage like that. I believe that you need to work through those things, and you can work through them together with your fiance before you get married. And if your fiance knows everything and they're willing to marry you, it's something that you're going to continually have to be working through.
Right. Because so mentorship really matters.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not saying, you know, you're not going to be, no one's going to be perfect. We're all broken. We're all going to have struggles. And if you waited till you were perfect to get married, nobody would ever get married.
That's right. That's right. And that's the beauty of marriage, is that we get to grow together. And I think our culture is all about, self-gratification, and we're sent so many messages. Our kids today are sent more messages than ever before about self-centered toxic living, and marriage is requires so much self-sacrifice. And so I love so much what you guys are doing. Thank you so much for being willing to share your story and to minister to the hearts of other people. And I know that this book of yours is going to have a great impact on many people. I've got a fun question for you that I usually ask guests, especially new ones, before we go. If you had 4 hours all to yourself and someone had already cleaned your house for you, what would you do with those 4 hours?
Let me see. Well, you know, I had 2 hours to myself last night and my house was already clean. So what I did was, my favorite thing to do is really to get into God's word. I had a Bible study that I bought the study book, and I have not had time to, I can't go to the group because we're traveling so much. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to get this study book out. I'm going to watch the video and I'm going to do this study. Because my flesh wants to like turn on Netflix and watch a movie and eat popcorn. Mm-hmm. And last night I thought, you know, I need to not do what my flesh wants, because that's not necessarily going to make me feel good. And I have to tell you, I had the best night. And my husband came home last night and we had the best conversation after he got home. He was at a men's Bible study and I shared my Bible study and he shared his. And so I'm just finding that I have to really be aware of what my spirit wants instead of what my flesh wants, because there's so much more fulfillment in that for me.
Wow. I thought you were going to say go for coffee and read a book, but we got so much more there. I love that. I love that. You're so right. I think we practicing that self-discipline and letting the Lord lead us into his word is where it's at when we have that quiet time. But thank you, Kathy, so much. How can people listening connect with you?
So people can go, we have a website for our ministry, which is called War Room Ministries. So warroomministries.com is where they can find us and find our marriage events. We only have 2 marriage events right now on the schedule because we're putting together a new one right now. And with the launch of our book, we've been really busy with that. So, but War Room Ministries is where we're at. And then our book is for sale on Amazon and Simon & Schuster. And that's where we're at right now. And we're also in the process, we're actually building in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, a marriage retreat center that we will be doing weekend intensive marriage retreats. And we're going to use a lot of the stuff from our book in that retreat. So we're excited for that. That's probably going to be in the fall, and that'll be in Coeur d'Alene. And we'll have information on War Room Ministries about that too.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I love that you're doing that. Wow. Sometimes it just takes getting people out of their natural environment and into a new setting to help them just to feel free to dive into the deeper stuff. Do you find that to be true?
Oh, yeah. We totally agree with that. And we've been doing one-day events for many years, and we just are really feeling God leading us into spending more time with these couples, you know, and having intensive weekends so couples can really open up and really get help where they need it.
That's awesome. That's great. Thank you, Kathy, so much for joining me today. It's been an honor chatting with you.
Well, thank you, Linnell. It's been great. Thanks for having me.
What a testimony of the beauty that only God can bring to a failing relationship. I just love how he brought Kathy and Tim the love and fidelity that they never thought they could have in their marriage. I really hope that this conversation has helped and inspired you in some way today. Don't hesitate to reach out to War Room Ministries if you're needing some extra support for your marriage, and check out their new book, Kathy and Tim's new book as well. Friends, thank you so much for joining me here today. Make sure that you subscribe or follow to get updates when a new episode is available, and I really hope that you will join me back here again soon.